And I'm trying to figure out how I'm doing that. It's a challenge. This portion that we're back in 1655, a gentleman by the name of William Garnell wrote a series of books on just this passage, totaling 1,472 pages. Yeah, right. And then Lloyd Martin Jones, who's one of our most recent scholars, he only wrote 736 pages. And here we're trying to conclude this portion in three messages. What a challenge. There is so much in this portion of Scripture that I encourage you that even after we conclude the book of Ephesians this next week, go back and read it again. Read it again. Read it again and allow the Holy Spirit just to cause something within you to take courage to be able to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in our world today. Stuff is happening all around us in our world. In America, we see a nation that has been basically turning its back on God, trusting in its own truth instead of the truth, and we're seeing the results that's happening in our country. I heard about what's happening in California schools. In our grade schools, the children have to go through sex education now that is very, very graphic and encouraging these students to do things that will be destructive to them psychologically for years to come. You know, our country is not thinking about regrets. They're just acting in the moment. As so many of us do, we act in the moment and then we have to deal with regrets later on. Paul is encouraging us to put on the whole armor of God, and if we do that, we will not be people living with regret. We will be people living with a confidence that we belong to the Lord our God, and that we are His people, and He is doing a mighty work in our lives. So as we prepare to follow up with this title, suit up, because that's what we want to do. We want to suit up. We want to take up the whole armor of God so that we can stand. Stand true, stand firm, stand confident, stand assured that we are right with our Lord. So, Father, as we prepare to read this passage, again, Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts and our minds, that You, by Your Spirit, would work in each and every one of us. You know what it is that each of us needs to hear from You today. So help us to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would teach. Even as I am teaching the Word of God, I know that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So may we hear You, teacher, what You're saying to us and being able to live accordingly from this day forward. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Well, last week we started the passage with verses 10 through 12, and we recognized that we are in a spiritual warfare. That's a reality. Anytime that you, well, let's put it this way. We are truly engaged because when we became followers of Jesus Christ, we no longer belong to Satan. We no longer belong to his army. Before we received Jesus Christ, we were his. And yes, he tempted us to do a whole lot of things that were destructive and stuff like that. But when we became followers of Jesus Christ, we became his enemy. And Paul is reminding us that there's always that spiritual warfare that's going on. Because if he can handicap the Christians, then he can keep from losing others that are followers of him. We're called to reach people for Christ. And if we are strong in the Lord, people are going to be drawn to Jesus. They're not going to be pushed away. They're going to be encouraged because they see something so powerfully different in us. And so Paul is reminding us. He goes back to the beginning, the first three chapters. Here is our position with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what He has done for us. And then He's given us a so what? So that we would live a life that's worthy of the calling that we have received. That we would live lives in such a way in our world that is so anti-God, especially anti-Jesus, that we would be able to live in such a way that we would honor Him in everything we say and do. And remember something, in the period that Paul lived, it was a very difficult time. He's in prison when he's writing this letter. This is not, so he's speaking to us from practical reality of the difficulty of life, being a follower of Jesus. And he's saying for us to take courage. And that's what we want to do. We want to take strong courage. So let's go ahead and read it in the context. Philippians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Oh, but it sure seems like it, doesn't it? Oh, if that person or that person, if they... Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And my friends, that prayer should be each and every one of our prayer as well. So it was interesting that I came across a comparison by a Brian Chappell. And I thought it was fascinating as you look at this, our past standing and our present standing. Sometimes we forget that we're not living in the past. We act as if the past is present. And I'm excited about the fact that our young people had their camp just recently and the opportunities to understand the position that they truly have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, we know what it's like dealing with the realities of the world and the challenges that we're faced because of the world. These young people have a unique set of challenges in this world because the world thinks that their truth is truth. And that's the challenge that each one of these young people are going to have. We need to pray for our young people that they truly would live as they are children of God, that they are royalty, as we need to pray the same for us. That we would go through the day-by-day challenges and that we would choose to live as if we are royalty, that we are children. But I love what is reinforced here, and I've given you the references to go along with it. Beginning with chapter 2, we were dead in our sins, but we are alive in Christ. That's a special understanding. Because if we were dead in our sins, when we if we were to leave this earth right now, we would be in hell for eternity. But Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to be alive in Him, and we have a tremendous hope that one day we are going to be standing before Him in heaven. We were under the dominion of Satan, but now we are seated in the heavenly realms, and we recognize the heavenly realms is not the heaven as we are thinking of when we talk about heaven, but it's all of heaven, even this realm that we're in. The presence of Jesus Christ is with us. We are in his realm right now, and that means we are seated with Him, and I'm excited that we have a tremendous position in the Lord today. We were objects of wrath because of the sin that we were under, but now we have been brought near to God our Father through Jesus Christ. I'm excited about that. We were foreigners, but we're fellow citizens. We were aliens, but now we belong to the household of God. And sometimes we just seem to forget who we belong to. We see examples of this in some of the rich kids of today who do not appreciate the family that they belong to. Did you read about that story about that kid who, 17 years old, was given a brand new BMW from his parents? And he was so ticked off, he drove it into the lake to destroy it because he wanted a Jaguar. Friends, we belong to a greater household. We're members of the family of God. Let's not be greedy like that little 17-year-old boy. We put off the old self, we put on the new. We were in darkness, we are light. Our enemy, as we see in verse 11, is the devil, Satan himself. But as we reminded ourselves this last week, Satan is not omnipresent. It may feel like that because of all the stuff that's going on in our lives as individuals, but he's not omnipresent. He cannot be every place at once. God can, and God is, but Satan is not. There's another thing is Satan is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's full of schemes. Schemes that have worked throughout the ages to really deceive and destroy people. But he's not omniscient, and he's definitely not omnipotent. It may seem like he's all-powerful, but he's not. But the reality is, he is more powerful than we are. And therefore, we need to recognize our position in the Lord and stand on that truth. So we have Romans chapter 8. I want to read all of this to remind ourselves of the position we have in the Lord if we choose to act on it. If we don't, then we're going to give in to the wild things of Satan, and we're going to pay the price. We're going to live life full of regret. The Lord doesn't want us to live with regret. He wants us to live with a sense of it's great to be a child of God. And look at all that he has done in my life. You know, the Apostle Paul, even with all the challenges that he faces, he's saying, it's great to be a child of God. Because, he says in Romans chapter 8, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He's talking about the fact that, you know what, there's a whole lot of garbage that happens in our life. But God is with us. The fact that we have the seal of guarantee, the presence of the Holy Spirit, should reassure us. And that he will take the messes and turn it around for His glory, for our good. That there will be wonderful things that will happen in our lives because of the fact that He is in control. So it says, He works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. As you talked about last week, we're royalty, aren't we? We belong to his family. What then shall we say in response to this? And I love this. If God is for us, who can be against us? We can stand tall. We can stand strong. We don't need to give in to all of this nonsense that goes on in our lives. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, not mankind. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised up to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So take courage. Our Lord is working on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, today I just have this overwhelming sense that God wants us to take courage in the midst of all the stuff that is happening around us every day of our lives, the challenges we face, because he is working on our behalf. But we have to do something. We have to be willing to take up the armor of God. And that's what we see beginning with verse 11. Now, in the New International, it says, once again, put on the full armor of God. But basically, there's a slight adjustment, and it says, we're told in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. That's the call. We put on Christ, put on the full armor of God. Make that choice. But then Paul goes on and he talks about the fact that we're dealing with the scheming of the devil, all of the stuff that he would do to make us weak, to make us wonder what are we doing as Christians and stuff like that with all the stuff that's happening in the world. No, that's the schemes, the tricks, the temptation that Satan would try to bring our way. But then Paul goes on, he says, make the choice. Look, there's a stuff going on, so make the choice. Be intentional, is what he's saying to us. Take up. Take up the armor of God. And once again, I want to read verse 13. In the New International it says put on, but I'm going to change it. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, which is every day of our life, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything, to stand. And that's what the Lord wants us to be able to do. With all the stuff flying at us, to be able to stand firm, to stand confidently, knowing that the Lord is working in our lives. But as I said, it's an intentionality in our part. And we talk about the fact that we recognize that God is calling us to intentionally become followers of Jesus Christ who love him with all of who we are. An intentionality. It doesn't just happen, but it's a choice that we make on our part to intentionally become that follower of Jesus Christ who loves him with our whole being. And that's what Paul is telling us. Take up the full armor of God intentionally. And let's talk about each piece of the armor of God, because each piece has a powerful role in our being able to stand, to stand firm and not have any regrets because we wavered, we wobbled. We have this provision to be reminded of. We must remember that if we expect to be victorious, we must take up the whole armor of God. There's no victory without it, because we have His provision. We have His Word. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have His resources. We have His strength. I don't know about you, but I'm surprised that some of you are not suddenly shouting out, "Glory!" You know, you think about it. We have all of this. But let's not take it for granted. Think about it. When you think, you know, we must not neglect any of this. If you think about it, why do we fail? Why do we fail in warfare? Why do we give in to certain schemes, certain temptations, and then have regrets? Is because we don't take up every piece of the armor. We may take up a piece when it's convenient, or when we are focused on a specific problem. But Paul says, understand, you're in a battle for your life. If you will, battle of your life. It's happening every day. And Paul says we need to choose to put on, keep it on every day of our life, 24/7. Take up the full armor of God. Understand that when things happen, God didn't let us down. Usually it's we let ourselves down. That's hard to take. We'd like to blame someone else. It's their fault. No, any choices we make, it's our choice. And so it's critical that we take up the full armor of God, because the times are evil. You know, let's face it, we need to recognize that Satan is doing everything he can to oppose believers. And one way he does this is by impugning God's character and credibility. And he started all the way back in Genesis with Adam and Eve. Did God really? And then planted doubt. And how many times do we go through every day of our life just wondering, is this really what God wants? I know His Word says this, but, you know, we're in 2019. Is this really what God wants you to do? And Satan is constantly putting that kind of doubt in our mind. We question because we watch what friends are doing and what's happening in their lives, or the deception that towards us, because we think that we're missing out on something. Another area that Satan works is he tries to bring in doctrinal error and confusion. I was talking with Bula via WhatsApp yesterday morning, and she brought up and says, what do you know about a particular church, and what do you know about transformational healing? Sounds good, doesn't it? It's satanic. It's under the Japanese form of training, and it has nothing to do scripturally. And sadly, that is starting to creep into some of the teaching in the churches here in California and around the world. We need to be aware of what is true, what is doctrine. And so that's something we're going to talk about, the belt of truth, in just a minute. Hindering our service to God. You know, Pastor Paul talked about the fact that in our offerings made it possible for us to be able to support our youth in their camp and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things that that we as a church could do if we were more open to what God wanted to do through us in practical ways. Hindering, Satan will do, well, you know, you need to keep this on hand, you need to keep that. No, you don't really want to do that, you know, whatever. that Satan would choose to hinder our service. Sometimes we know that God wants us to do something, but we're kind of like the Pharisee and the other who walked by the lame man in the book of Luke, hindering our service to God. Satan would do that, and he would try to have us trust in our own resources, to be excited about the ways of the world. Oh, it's so exciting. And then, of course, you know, when we know that God wants us to do something, to disobey. These are the things that Satan would try to do. But we're called to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we have the promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You know what? There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. He says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up against it." Our Lord is with us, and He wants to walk through life challenges. And when there's temptations, not to help us to not give in, but to stay true, to stand firm for Him. And that's something that I think that is critical for us to remember. And to remember also in what we read in earlier in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 39, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And that's the encouragement that I would have that each of us would walk away with right now. So what are these pieces of the full armor of God? We're going to look at the first three. There are six, but we're going to look at the first three. The first one is the belt of truth. The second one has to do with putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And the third one has having feet fitted with the gospel of peace. So the belt of truth. You know, as I said, our country is in a very destructive mode right now. And this is a destructive mode is they're saying their truth is more important than the truth. And how many Christians will even do the same thing? Think their truth in the moment is more right on than the truth of God's Word. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." There's no other truth that we should be seeking to stand on. We should try to understand what is the Word of God speaking to us, so that way we know what we believe and why we believe it. In fact, we're going to be taking a direction, a totally different direction. Normally, I like to go through a book all the way through it, but this next month, we're going to start a journey on looking at the Apostles' Creed. In other words, what do we believe in? What do we really believe? And that's what we want to so establish a firm foundation on this, that when we have all of this stuff coming in at us from all angles, we know what is truth, what we believe, and why we believe. Because we cannot be deceived by thinking our truth is more important than the truth. So it's significant that that Paul identifies the belt of truth first. How many Christians, though, have found themselves embarrassed? What do I mean by this? You notice that Paul says the belt of truth. The belt was very important and part of the armor of God because it would hold up the material so that they would not trip, get tangled, and so on. How many of us have seen the maybe when we were little kids, we did the same thing. We took off running, and our pants were loose. And what happened? They fell down by our ankles, and we fall. And so, you know, sadly, I've seen some people on the street that have no belt, and they have pants too big, and they're trying to hold them up. The belt gives us confidence. Think about it. The belt provides a sense of confidence that we can do what we need to do. And if we put on the belt of truth, then we're going to have a lot more confidence in facing the challenges of life. So take courage. Take up the whole armor of God, starting with the belt of truth. And then Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was a very powerful, powerful part of the armor because it protected the heart. It protected the lungs. It protected the intestines. It was a form of protection. And you and I need to guard our hearts. We're told that in the scriptures, to guard our hearts and our minds. We're called to reflect the righteousness of God. When we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, we recognize that God is the one who made us right standing in His presence. He declared us righteous. There's not a thing that we could do to prove how righteous we could be before Him. None of us could be good enough for God. But because of Jesus coming to the cross, it's His righteousness that had been applied to us. But it's not just that concept in the breastplate of righteousness, the assurance of your salvation. No, it's the call to also choose to live rightly before God. To do the acts of righteousness. We're called to day-by-day obedience, moment-by-moment obedience, because we must never forget who the enemy is. In verse 12, the devil, he's doing everything he can to tempt us to do wrong, but we're called to put on the breastplate of righteousness so that those darts from Satan cannot hurt us. That we would make the right choices moment by moment to live in such a way that we would honor Him, honor our Lord Jesus Christ. And then third, so we see the first two pieces is you really need to know what you believe and why you believe it. We need to be strengthened in God's truth, which is the gospel. Second, we also know that we're called to live that truth. That's what you see in the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We're called to live that truth, live in a way that really reflects that we are followers of Jesus Christ. But then he goes to the third item of the armor, where he says, And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know, these shoes were specially designed for the Romans with their armor so that they could do battle in all kinds of terrain. They were ready to move forward. They were ready to act. And that's basically what we see in this, that you and I are called to be ready to make the gospel known. And we see that the feet fitted. In other words, it's the idea of going, being able to go, move forward. And we go back to that call that the Lord has for us on Matthew 28. In the process of going, make disciples. So we're to put those shoes on, if you will. The shoes of the peace, the gospel of peace. You know, in fact, I was reminded of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 when I was looking at this, and that He is our peace. And He wants to be everyone else's peace as well. But I thought about the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, and the song came to my mind. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him. For He careth for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him. For He careth for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. So when you think about feet fitted with the gospel of peace, That's the assurance that we receive that we have right relationship with Him. But it also means that we are to go. And there's other people in our worlds that need to hear the message of peace with God. Having that peace that gives us the full assurance that we're going to be with Him. Wednesday nights, we're continuing our series on evangelism. We started with Evangelism 101, and now we're getting down to some very practical. Most of us are not wearing the shoes. In fact, most Christians don't. Because the stats show that 95% of Christians have never told another person about Christ. Imagine the difference we can make in our world if all of us have the confidence to have feet fitted with this gospel of peace. Let me encourage you. Join us for the next 6 weeks as we get down some practical ways on how we can tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, these three pieces of the armor is so that we can know the truth, know that what we believe and why, so that we can live in that moment by moment of obedience and be able to tell someone, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If we're living the truth day by day in obedience, moment by moment, the opportunities will come. We'll have the opportunity to be a positive benefit, not only in our lives, because every time we share the gospel, it strengthens our faith, but we'll be able to be a benefit in other people's lives. So I'm encouraged with what Paul is saying. He's saying, suit up. Suit up. Take up the full armor of God so that we can stand. That we can be strong in the Lord. That we can have the confidence that we can make the difference. So if we know the truth, really understand what we believe and why we believe it. So that if we truly choose, because we know the truth, to live moment by moment in obedience to that truth, then we can have the assurance that we are going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to show and tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for them. So the question that I have as we bring this message to a conclusion today, we have a lot of people here, and I have the assurance in one part that all of us know Jesus. However, do you really know? Do you know the truth? Do you know that salvation is only through Jesus Christ? I encourage you today, if you have any question, that you come up and let us pray with you. Because Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. And we need to be so sure of that, that our lives are living that truth. And so I come to that point. Are we making His truth a priority? In today's world, Christians are not reading this except on Sundays when the preacher opens up the Bible. They're depending upon their truth versus the truth. Are we guilty of that? And I will admit, even as a preacher, there have been days that I have missed opening up the Bible. But I'm challenged by the Spirit of God to take up His Word daily and allow it to speak to me. And it has been such an amazing journey over these weeks. As we have gone through the book of Ephesians, I cannot get enough of just that first part. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us before the creation of the world. He chose us. I don't know about you, but that really encourages me. Do you know the Lord in that way? Can you get that excitement that the Apostle Paul is really expressing to us, the assurance, so that when we take up the truth, we are able then to stand against any of the nonsense that the world would throw at us? I think many Christians give in because they have not taken up the truth. They've not put that belt on. So when the truth of the world comes in, it sounds good. But Paul is saying, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Don't let any of that nonsense attack your heart, attack your mind, to get you to compromise in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to somehow not be picked upon by other people. Oh, you're one of those. But to have the confidence to be able to stand and say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I have a tremendous hope. And I would like you to have the same hope. And so may God give us the courage to be able to take a stand and share the gospel. How many missed opportunities have we had? There's more opportunities that are going to come our way, but are we prepared? So, Lord, wow. We've only looked at three pieces of the armor.